What's going on, guys? Welcome to Weighing In with Worm. I'm your host, Worm Buffelli. We're here at the Wormhole Studios. It is a Monday night here in Dubuque, Iowa. We are excited tonight. This is the first solo podcast. No interviews, just recaps, talking wrestling. I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited too. Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to Raider Outdoor Power. Located at 2580 Rockdale Road, the good folks at Raiders will make sure that you are set up this season to have your lawn looking like a pro-level golf course. And when that snow falls and you need to get to a wrestling tournament, they will also have the top-of-the-line snowblowers that you need to get that snow off your driveway and get you on the road. Steve and Mel out at Raider Outdoor Power, stop out and see them, and they'll make sure that you are set up. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the podcast. Guys, stop what you're doing and go to Mosky's. Plain and simple. If you're around the Cascade area, stop and get Mosky's Barbecue. Some of the best barbecue you'll ever have. Bryce and Shauna do an amazing job. They've had their food truck for a couple years, so in this past year they've opened up a brick and mortar building, and they have not disappointed. I have never not had a bad meal there. I always end up leaving fat and happy. It's one of my favorite places to eat. And on top of it too, they're big wrestling supporters. So if you guys have the opportunity to stop, get some barbecue, stop at Mosky's in Cascade and tell them Worm sent you.
Are you looking to restore rusty old metal parts to like new conditions or protect brand new components with durable, attractive, long-lasting finishes? Lane's Custom Steel, located in Benton, Wisconsin, can help with the metal finishings and metal coatings, offering a full range of custom metal restoration using powder coating for individuals and businesses. Contact Shaden at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. That's Lanes, L-A-N-E-Z, CustomSteel@gmail.com. Let's get this podcast rolling.
And we're back. Thank you guys so much for listening to those ads from our great sponsors. Go support them any way you guys can. This week in Worm's Wrestling World, it was a busy one, guys, not going to lie. I headed down to Bellevue on Friday night to help run the seating meeting for the Bellevue Girls invite. Pretty good tournament, 14 teams there. And I think a lot of good stuff happened out of the Dubuque County area. You know, right off the gate, Bellevue, Kneef took fourth. Had a pretty good little tournament there. For Cascade, Kinsey Martin took fifth, going 3-2 on the night. Bailey Martin took fifth as well, going 2-2. Leah Schwenke, returning state qualifier, went 2-1 to second place finish. She lost to Kendi Holzinga from Clinton in the finals. Really, I think a good start for Cascade. I noticed Cascade, like, they got like 15 girls on their team. That's huge. I mean, that's a good thing going out there. So good work, Lady Cougars. I hope you guys have a great season. Hope to be catching you guys out most of the year. Wallert's two big dogs. I mean, they had their coming out party. Bella Miller went 4-0 on the night. She made a quick work on the day. All were first period falls. So really, she looked really, really tough. And we chatted with Bella real quick, and we just got to take a glimpse of what her goals are for the upcoming season.
I'm here with Bella Miller. Bella, first match of the season. Get a pin in the first period. How'd that feel?
It was pretty cool, you know?
Here, you know, you got some lofty goals. Where are they?
My goals? I'm going to say my end goal is being an Olympic champion. That's where I want to be. But for this season, I want to win state.
And the second punch of the freshman duo, Eve Skoraki, made her debut and her presence known. She went 3-0 on the night as well. Three pins. I got to grab Eve after her first match and talk to her a little bit and hear what she had to say about her first match and ultimately her goals for the season.
All right, I'm here with Wallert freshman Eve Skoraki. Eve, first win in the freshman campaign. How'd that feel?
Pretty good.
Yeah, so it looked like what? You're up 10-3 when you went for the fall?
Yeah. I wasn't going to go for the fall. I was going to keep working takedowns, but I had her legs split, and I knew that if I just held her there, I was going to be able to keep her down. So.
Okay, yeah, so it looked like, you know, really did a really good job controlling ties, getting your takedowns there. You know, where do you think those are right now as a freshman right now?
I think my strength is probably, like, being able to control the ties and being able to know, like, how to set up my shots even if I don't have the best hand position, which is something I've worked on a lot since the start of the season.
Awesome. So, freshman first match in. What's the goal at the end of the season?
State champ.
Awesome. Love to hear it.
And then rounding out Wallard's evening as well, returning state qualifier Ava McDermott took fifth. She went 2-2 on the night. And then Olivia took fourth as well. So good night for Wallard. I think they got a solid core group of girls. They have a few girls now that have been wrestling for 4 years. So I think they got a nice little coming, you know, a really good thing going there, obviously, with their two freshman hammers and the returning state qualifier and Ava McDermott. I think the sky's the limit for them. The big shock of the night, I think, was the tournament was won by the Dubuque Senior Lady Rams. They won the tournament with 142 points, and they edged Pleasant Valley by 5. Pleasant Valley's already been kind of known in the area for having a really solid girls team. So for Senior to come in and have the tournament like they did, I mean, it was a total team effort. I mean, you look at Alyssa Seipel, she took third, her only loss is to Bella on the night in the semis. So that's a good one there. Jolie Strohmeyer, she went 5-1, and she went 3-0 on the night. And she's currently 7-1 on the year. So she really had a really good night, too. I know they went down to City High on Monday night, and they got some matches in as well. Abigail Goff, she also took first place, and she scored 26 team points of the 142 there. So really, really impressed with Senior showing down there. Like I said, there was, I mean, the teams over there, Waller, Cascade, Bellevue, Bettendorf, which is a traditional powerhouse, Clinton, Northeast Goose Lake, all these girls' teams, like, they really are really starting to pick up some steam here, and I'm here for it. I'm really excited about that. So these ladies wrestled their butts off, and I my hat's off to them. Sunday, went down to Iowa City for the Iowa versus Oregon State duel. Gotta see Dubuque hometown boy Boone McDermott, year 6 of his college campaign, get to wrestle in Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And I don't think he disappointed. He actually got a really nice pop from the crowd when they introduced him. I think Boone has always kind of been a hometown favorite in the state of Iowa. So to hear the crowd kind of get excited to hear him run out, I bet that was pretty exciting for him. He wrestled Bradley Hill, who is a sophomore from Bettendorf, or a redshirt freshman from Bettendorf. Fargo champ. He's a tough dude. He's competed at the Pan Ams. I believe he won the Pan Ams for the U20. So he is a solid wrestler. And Boone and him had a really tough match. Boone scored a takedown in the first and then got an escape in the second. And then Hill got an escape going into the third. And it just was a hand fight slugfest for the next 2 minutes in the third period. So I was really excited to see Boone wrestle. Like I said, I think every kid in Iowa, I think one of your goals is to wrestle in Carver-Hawkeye, regardless of who you're wrestling for. And I think Boone got to check that off his bucket list. So kudos to him. Very excited to see what happens with him the rest of the year. Going into our area college teams in the Division III, I mean, Loras had a long haul this week. Thursday night, they had to take the 5-hour trip out to Storm Lake out in Buena Vista to take on the Beavers. They won that duel 43-3. They went bonus point city from 57-285. I mean, that new 3-point takedown can really blow a match wide open. I mean, there was a couple matches where all of a sudden you can blink and all of a sudden attack's about to happen. So I'm still kind of getting to like the 3-point takedown. I think as long as, you know, the 3-point takedowns are getting used for guys that I'm cheering for, it's awesome. But I think down the road, it probably will upset me at some point. So, you know, hopefully I learned to grow and learn to love it. I mean, I think it's good for the sport of wrestling. It awards the aggressor. It awards guys for taking the offensive takedown opportunities. So that was pretty good stuff watching them. Like I said, they won 43-3. Then come home. They got home at like 1 in the morning to turn around and then have a quick practice on Friday and then head up to Concordia, which is in Maquon, Wisconsin, which is just north of Milwaukee. And that's kind of always been a really tough tournament. I always kind of compare it to like a Division III Midlands, where, you know, kind of like Luther last weekend, but like you have your North Centrals, your Warburgs, your Loras,
you know, a lot of tough teams that are in the hunt, they bring their teams, and it can be a long day. And I think Loris, I mean, they really showed up, I thought. They took 10th of the team, but, I mean, you had championship wins out of Jalen Schropp. He recorded a pin, a 5-2 decision, 11-1 major decision, and then he got another fall, and they were all against Wartburg opponents. So he made use of his time on the mat, and I think that's a pretty big statement if you can run through Wartburg's you know, entire 141-pound weight class and, you know, show that you're going to be one of the tough guys in the conference this year. Dustin Bourne, another champion this week for Loris. He had a tech fall, two pins, and then he had a 2-0 decision. He made it to the finals against Jay Griner from the University of Chicago. Late in the third, Bourne secured a takedown and near fall to end the match with a 13-1. So, I mean, that's one of those guys coming up. He is going to be a lot of fun to watch this season. He's got a really fun, unorthodox style, and I think that he's going to be one of those cats that really really shines towards the national tournament, hopefully. You know, rounding out for the Dewhawks at 157 pounds, Gabe Pfizer. He made the finals. Looked really good all day. He recorded bonus point victories in 3 out of 5 wins. Pfizer concluded his day by dropping his last match from North Central's Haven Estrada, returning NCAA runner-up at 149 pounds. So, you know, tough match, but at the same time, I think he lost by a major. But again, with those 3-point takedowns, all of a sudden, a major can be, you know, get opened up really quick. So I'm not too worried about that match. I think Gabe Pfizer is one of those guys that could really, really be a tough son of a gun come the national tournament. I know he's training really hard for it. So hopefully here, you know, that's just one of those losses that you need to take at the end of the year. Moving on to the University of Dubuque. They didn't have a duel this week, but they did wrestle up at the Albion Invite in Albion, Michigan. They took 4th as a team, and they had 4 placers. But really, they were highlighted by Tyler Klein at 125 pounds, who won the tournament. Cale Roth at 165 pounds. He took 2nd. And then Tyler Thurston at heavyweight. He took 3rd. So they had guys that are competitive. I think they took their entire team up. You know, I think they had they had 8 placers, but, you know, in the top 3, they had 3. So, I mean, it's a solid day for them, just, you know, same as Loris. I think come that duel, I think that duel is going to be close, and we're going to keep covering them throughout the year. So I'm pretty excited about that as well. And with that, we're going to grab a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to be talking district pairings. Want to take a quick break here to mention our great sponsors at Raider Outdoor Power. Stop out at 2580 Rockdale Road, and one of their great sales staff will have you set up for the best equipment and top-of-the-line service you can expect from a company who has helped the Dubuque County area since 1957. There's a reason powder coating has such great reputation for strength, durability, and beauty. It can transform metal surfaces into long-lasting finishes able to withstand heavy use and harsh environmental conditions. At Lane's Custom Steel, they have been offering custom powder coating solutions to businesses and individuals since 2019. Their skilled team of professionals are dedicated to providing you with high-quality finishes that will last many years. Email at lanescustomsteel@gmail.com. That's L-A-N-E-Z, customsteel@gmail.com.
And we're back. We just got the district pairings Friday afternoon, and I love when district pairings come out. It reminds me almost of it's a Christmas morning vibe when it comes for this, because I always get to see, you know, where the teams are going. You start to put implications on head-to-head competition, tournaments, all that type of stuff, and see how the year plays out. And I think, honestly, you know, each one has a different element and a different story to them, and I'm actually really excited. You know, looking at Class 1A with Cascade and Bellevue, that's not a bad district at all, guys. I mean, to be honest, it's pretty nice. Bellevue, Cascade are in the same district of MFL with Central Alcater, Clayton Ridge, East Buchanan, Jessup, MFL Marmac, Postville, Starmont, and Sumner Fredericksburg. When I saw this district, I was very excited because both programs, I think, on any given day with this district, they could show up and get 2 to 5 state qualifiers out of it.
Again, you only have to place top two in 1A and 2A at districts. So you show up there and all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself winning your first match. You could be looking at a trip to the state tournament and with a 500 record. And I think that's excellent. You know, that's that gives everyone kind of, you know, that shot to go. You know, in past, Bellevue and Cascade both have always been kind of more in the Wilton, Lisbon, Don Bosco districts. And that usually means, like, out of the 14 weights, usually they're going to have 10 of those qualifying spots spoken for. So that kind of, I think, opens up the field. And I'm really excited for both of those guys. With 2A, Wallert, they're at West Delaware. West Delaware, obviously a perennial powerhouse in the state. They are one of the most dominant teams here in the eastern part of Iowa. You know, in past, they've been had some really heavy hitters. This year, I think they're still pretty solid. Even, you know, in their down years, they're always a top 10 team. So always, you know, always got to keep West Delaware, you know, in check. But in this district, it's Benton Community, Center Point Urbana, Maquoketa, Monticello, New Hampton, Turkey Valley, Northeast, Waller, and West Delaware. Again, with West Delaware being, you know, a perennial, they probably can get 10 of those weights, 10 of those 28 spots, you know, but that's still even more than, you know, in years past where you put a West Dubuque and a Mount Vernon in that district. That's tough sledding. So this one, I think, kind of shakes out. I know Wallard's got some guys that last year came really close in a really tough district. So I think they're in a position, too, where they get, you know, 1-3 or 1-4 qualifiers through looking at this district. And a lot of them, you know, they have decent amount of head-to-heads. I know, like, the Center Point Urbana duels is something that Wallard's always gone to. Maquoketa has always been a tournament they've gotten into the last couple years. Northeast and Waller both are at the Cascade invite. So they're going to see a decent amount of head-to-head competition before the district tournament. Class 3A. Guys, this is a dogfight. I mean, bloodbath. Any word to describe just what this 3A district is. It's going to be held at Hempstead. Noon start time. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is probably one of the toughest districts in the state. You have Hempstead, Senior, North Scott Eldridge, Pleasant Valley, West Dubuque, Clinton, Davenport North, and Waverly Shell Rock. For those that know wrestling, you know, Waverly Shell Rock is a perennial powerhouse like a West Delaware. You know, even in their down years, they're a top five team. And the thing about 3A, where 1A and 2A get their top two, 3A gets top three because they're in eight districts instead of 12. So looking at this on paper, everyone's kind of thinking probably, oh man, tough sledding for a lot of these teams, tough sledding. But at the same time, you know, that's why we wrestle. You know, it's not over until it's over. And like, and that third place spot is so huge. Because even if you know you lose to a Waverly or a North Scott or a Hempstead, you still got some tread room there to get down to Des Moines. It's not completely, you know, shut out at that point. So really excited about these districts. By the looks of it, I probably most likely are gonna be going to the Hempstead one just because it's two blocks from my house and that thing is just gonna be a dogfight. So excited for all those teams, especially as we're starting the season here. Best of luck. And we'll be right back with one last shout out from our sponsors, and we'll be back. This is the newest section of the Weighing In with Worm podcast. Now that we have transitioned into a solo podcast without any interviews, I wanted to find something that could benefit the wrestlers or the parents as a whole. Just kind of some things that I've picked up along the way. Being a coach, being an athlete, you know, I learned, you know, obviously a decent amount of stuff that that has, you know, I've transitioned that into my coaching world, into when I was competing. Obviously, with competing, obviously, it was like shoulda, woulda, coulda. I wish I knew what I knew now than better than what I knew then, obviously. But I figured, hey, this is my opportunity now that I can, you know, pass some of this advice on. And again, guys, before we start Coach Worm's Corner, that's the pending name. I'm still trying to find a fun name for it, but right now it's just Coach Worm's Corner. If you take anything or nothing from this, this is just advice. You can take one thing from it, or you can take all of it. I don't care. I just feel like this is good ways to have a platform to be able to pass my knowledge on, if you will. And if you guys have any questions about anything that I talk about or something you want me to talk about, you know, hit me up on @WormsWayIn on Instagram and just like shoot me a quick line of like, hey, I'd like you to cover this in Coach Worm's Corner. Then that way I can kind of do some research and we can talk about it. With Thanksgiving coming around the corner, guys, and the first competition coming up, I want to talk about weight cutting. You know, there's a lot of things that get talked about with weight cutting. I've seen guys cut weight like a science and they wrestle like $1 million. And then I've seen guys cut weight really stupid and they wrestle like crap. It's really one of those things. Everyone's different. Everyone's bodies are different. So like if you hear someone like want to give weight cutting advice, there's no one way to do it. You know, so I figured today would be a really good way to just kind of paint a broad picture of things to consider when you're cutting weight, you know, or deciding, you know, what you're doing this wrestling season. And first thing you need to do is establish what you are doing. Are you cutting weight? Are you dieting? I've always said if you're within 10 pounds of your target weight class, you're not cutting weight. You're dieting. You're cutting the pop out of your system. You're cutting the trips to the fast food places with your friends. You're not getting double lunch at the lunchroom. You know, you're doing things to kind of, you know, get that weight off with workouts at practice. Now, if you're about 20 to 15 over at the start of the season, okay, then you're doing a little weight cutting. You know, you need to establish what you're doing, you know, because if you're dieting, you know, that's not weight cutting. And if you're weight cutting, you're not dieting, you know. My take on weight cutting has kind of always been, if you think that's the best move for you, then go for it. But as soon as practice becomes about cutting weight and not getting better at wrestling, that's when it's time to really, really change your stance, maybe move up a weight class, because wrestling practice is for getting better at wrestling. So cut weight on your own time. I don't know. I've never really like the idea of guys coming into practice with, you know, two pairs of sweatpants on, you know, long sleeve shirt, sweatshirt, because two things. One, they're more focused on sweating and losing weight that way than they are getting better wrestling. And two, the guys that start with that start spending a lot more time, you know, ripping off their sweatshirt or ripping off a layer of sweats, you know, and you're not wrestling. You're not getting better at wrestling. So I kind of always have lived by the Randy Stewart rules. That's what Coach Stu at Loris's rules when we were in college. And it was real simple. It was you could either wear sweatpants and a t-shirt or sweatshirts and shorts. You could never have sweatshirts and sweatpants. It had to be one or the other. So I personally always liked shorts and a sweatshirt. I always felt like I got a lot more sweat going, you know, with a sweatshirt on than I did with sweatpants. So I always like to have my, like a crew neck sweatshirt on and some shorts. And if you work hard, man, with that on, you're going to lose weight. You know, it's just, it is what it is. And so that's kind of my rule. I've always just have, if you're going to do it, pick one or the other. Don't go in there looking like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, completely layered out, because I don't think that's really that beneficial to you. I think if you're going to go, you know, if you're going to do it that way, only use, like, do that type of stuff, like, on a treadmill or, like, on a bike. don't go into wrestling practice with multiple layers on. It just doesn't work. Don't skip meals. Guys, I feel like one of the more annoying things that I had to deal with when I told people that I wrestled that didn't wrestle or like kind of didn't know a lot about it was like, never failed if you're talking to some, you know, if I was ever talking to a girl or something like that in college or coaching, they'd be like, oh yeah, like I remember this guy in high school, he would only eat popsicles every day. That's dumb, guys. Like, that really is dumb. Hopefully your guys' coaches are smart enough now, and a lot of coaches are, to know, like, hey, you don't skip meals. You're not going to skip meals and be productive and lose weight the way you should. You should at least eat 3 meals a day, you know, and maybe a snack in between breakfast and lunch and dinner, just to keep that metabolism going. You're not going to get far on an empty stomach. Usually for me, when I was cutting the most weight, I really did not skip a meal, but I would start my breakfast off every morning. I'd have just 2 eggs, 1 piece of toast, a banana, and 12 ounces of water or Gatorade. If I was in the cafeteria at school, at college, I'd usually have Gatorade just to kind of get some electrolytes in my system to kind of get me through the day. At lunchtime, I would go with like a wrap, you know, just some cold cut meat, spinach, you know, and just like a little bit of hot sauce, just to, you know, again, it's not going to fill you up, like make you full, but it's going to keep you satisfied. And then usually like some water or something like that during that time. Dinner, I usually went with like a salad with some protein on it. I'm a guy of habit though. So like that can work, like that always worked for me, but I always just want to be consistent at least with breakfast. Like because I knew after a while how much it weighed, how much my protein intake was, and just, it just kickstarted the engine, if you will. So don't skip meals, portion control, you know, and find the difference between being full and fed. You know, you don't go and, you know, Don't go to the cafeteria and, you know, scarf down a lunch and then be like, oh, I'm so full. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're 5-6 pounds over, you know, a couple days out. That's not beneficial. Keep food in your system, but, you know, be smart about it. If you're going to cut weight, I apologize for my language right now. Don't be a dick. Cutting weight is your decision. It's not anyone else's. You know, so you're making that decision to cut weight. So don't be a dick to your parents, your friends, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. Don't, because you made that decision, you know. So you have chosen to, you know, to suffer a little bit. It's not their fault. So don't, you know, don't be taking down your parents or your brother and sister or anyone like that because you feel like, you know, this isn't fair. It's on you. Like, this is all on you. Okay. So, you know, always keep that in mind, is this is on you. So don't be a dick about it. Also, don't be that kid that has to tell everyone they're cutting weight. I don't think that gets you a whole lot of places. I think it's one of those things, again, suffering, you know, people talk about suffering and stuff like that. Suffer in silence, you know. You don't have to sit there and mope about it or be like, oh, I'm cutting weight, this sucks. No, just do it. Like, you know, again, you made this decision. You're making the call. So you're the one that ultimately is in control of it. So if you're going to, you know, be sad and mopey and stuff like that and, like, want a pity party, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And, again, go up a weight class. You know, I knew some guys that could cut weight like gangsters, and you'd never hear them complain about it. You know, guys that were cutting hard, and they wouldn't complain about it. But then I also had guys that I would have to cut some weight, and the TV being too loud would make them just be a complete butthead to everyone. So, again, don't be that kid that has to tell everyone he's cutting weight, because, again, suffer in silence. Just get the job done. You'll do yourself a lot of favors. with Thanksgiving coming up, I've always also noticed too that people are like, oh man, my Thanksgiving sucked. I couldn't eat anything. This is one of those times you got to learn portion control. Here's the thing, guys. You can eat a plate of food. Now, does that mean that plate has to be 3 pounds and 2 miles high? No, not at all. But you can definitely get a plate of food, enjoy it, and then, you know, deal with it later. When I was in high school, when I started cutting weight, and when I was in college, when I was cutting weight, I had what I like to call the shutdown valve. The shutdown valve was usually 3 o'clock because my family events would start at like 11. So I'd get up Thanksgiving morning, I'd go for a run, you know, just a little 2 mile run through the streets of Cascade, usually from the Casey's to Merritt's Chiropractic. For anyone in Cascade that needs to know, a quick 2 mile run, it's Casey's to Merritt's and back. It's 2 miles. I'd start my Thanksgiving morning, I'd do that run. Then I kind of ate what I wanted. Now, again, I wasn't like stuffing my face or nothing like that, but you know, I had a good breakfast. And then when I went to my family's event, I would get a plate of, you know, meat and potatoes and cheesy potatoes and green bean casserole. You know, it was not 3 feet high. It was enough. It was a scoop of everything, you know. I got to enjoy tasting everything. And I wasn't like sitting there just like eating just a small piece of turkey. You know, that's just, again, that makes it miserable. It doesn't make it fun. I had this plate, you know, and after I ate that plate of food, I had a piece of pie. I picked one piece of pie. And I had a piece of pie, and I was happy. Then, so that was about, you know, noon 30. Spend the next hour and a half or so, like, you know, just drinking some water, having a couple bottles of water there. And by about 3 o'clock, again, I caught my shutdown valve. 3 o'clock, I was done eating. I was done grazing. I was done, you know, I shut it off. And about an hour later, I would usually leave my family event. And then I would go get, you know, I would go get some sweats on and I'd go to the wrestling room and I'd just do shadow wrestling, or I'd get a sweat going, jump rope, jog, stuff like that. Or I would take another run across town, you know, 1 or 2 miles. If not for nothing, it started my metabolism up again and it burned that food. I'm telling you guys, if you follow this, if you get one plate, you know, try everything or get what you want, but, you know, be smart about it. That one plate is not gonna, you know, change your entire week of dieting and you're getting down to weight. You know, that's why you do this. This is, you know, so then you're not feeling miserable about it. So take my advice. Don't take my advice. I might be nuts, but it worked for me. I never missed a meal of Thanksgiving. I enjoyed Thanksgiving. But then I also made sure that I took time out of my day to get a workout in or two and, you know, kind of keep all the checks and balances in place. So if any of this stuff works for you, take something, run with it. If none of it works, hey, it's up to you, man. I appreciate you guys listening anyways. Wrapping things up here. Again, thank you guys so much for the solo episode. Really excited about this. Hopefully we can improve on this every week and just make this a better product for everyone. This upcoming week, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Hope you guys enjoy nothing but good times with your family. Guys, ladies, get your workouts in. Get yourself right. Don't go overboard. You'll be fine. You'll have a good Thanksgiving, I promise. Boys competition starts next week. Very excited for those guys. I know Dubuque Hempstead girls, they're competing Saturday down at Linmar for a tournament. Very excited for them. I can't wait to see those guys or those ladies compete. Sunday, big duel, Iowa versus Iowa State on ESPN. Guys, I've been watching the Cy-Hawk duel since I was 13, and this is the first time in about at least 15 years I think that Iowa State could possibly break the streak of Iowa's reign of that duel. I mean, both teams have solid wrestlers. I think Iowa State right now is wrestling really hot. Iowa is wrestling with a team that has guys that aren't in the lineup because of some gambling punishments. But hey, you wrestle the guys that you have. I'm a full believer in that, and you know that happens. So that duel is at 2:00 on ESPN. Pretty sure a lot of you guys that are out there listening have ESPN. Let's grow the sport, guys. Tune in. It's gonna be a fun duel. We got to get those views up for ESPN to cover more wrestling. Let's just try all growing the sport of wrestling, guys. So if you guys have a chance to watch it on Sunday, friggin' watch it, all right? This is Worm. Thank you guys so much for listening. I got my one. I'm out. Before we go, I want to thank my sponsors one more time for supporting the podcast. Raider Outdoor Power, Lane's Custom Steel, Mosky's Barbecue, Gravel Excavating, Hartwig Marina, Cascade Athletic Club, Kramer's Pest Control, Jared Levy Exit Realty, Spine and Sport Chiropractic, Leonard Funeral Home, Big Game Wrestling Club, and Dubuque Wrestling Club. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring and supporting the podcast and area wrestling. We truly appreciate it. Thanks again for listening. Follow us at Worms Weigh-In on Instagram or follow us at Dubuque Area Sports Podcast on Facebook.